Welcome to the Middle East Report, your connection to truthful reporting on Israel and the Middle East. Each week, I help you connect to the people, places, and geography of what you read about in the Bible and hear about in the news. I help you make sense of what's happening in that region through a biblical lens. Well, today's program is a continuing series of interviews that I did while in Israel recently. I spoke to Lieutenant Colonel Eyal Dror, an active IDF reserve officer serving in the Golan Heights with over 24 years of service. Lieutenant Colonel Eyal was both the founder and commander of the historic national-level Good Neighbor Project that provided humanitarian aid to some 250,000 Syrian civilians in the Israeli-Syrian border area who were severely affected by the civil war in Syria. The Good Neighbor Project was a historic effort by providing extensive humanitarian assistance to Israel's enemies with cooperation of Israeli, Christian, and Muslim civilian aid organizations. His unique work on the Good Neighbor Project led him to write a book, Embracing the Enemy. I encourage you to get a copy of that book, and you can find that wherever you get your books online. You can also find out more about his work in Israel and around the world by visiting EyalDrorGN.com. That's EyalDrorGN.com. Lieutenant Colonel Eyal is married and the father of three beautiful children, but because of the Hezbollah ongoing war in the northern part of Israel, he has been evacuated from their home in the northern part of that country. In fact, over 80,000 people are no longer in their homes because of the constant rockets, drones from Hezbollah into Israel. Most of these families, including Lieutenant Colonel Eyal, are living in hotels. He points out this is not like being on vacation. We're going to get into that conversation that I had with the Lieutenant Colonel at a hotel where he and his family are staying very close to the Sea of Galilee. I'm here in the land of Israel, and this is many trips for me coming to this land. However, never in a time of war, but I am here talking to a lot of amazing Israelis who are going through a lot here in this country right now, and having the opportunity to speak to one of my dear friends, Eyal Dror. He is an officer in the IDF. He has a family, of course, that lives here in Israel, very close to the Lebanon border. We're going to find out about that. He has written a book. He is a dear, dear friend that has done so much for his country here. Eyal, thank you for joining us here on the Middle East Report.
Thank you for inviting me to this show.
Tell everybody where you and your family live here in the country of Israel.
So in normal life, we are living up in the area, what we call in Israel, the Upper Galil area. This is the northern part of Israel. Our home is in a small community, a small village called Dafna, which is less than a mile from the Israel-Lebanese border. I said in normal life because, as you and your people know, it's not normal life.
Now, we need to have everybody understand why you are living away from your home. Obviously, there is conflict in the northern part of Israel. Hezbollah is constantly shooting rockets toward the northern part of Israel with communities, and the government said these communities had to be evacuated, so you had to leave your home and come to another area very far away from your home.
So everything started on October 7th, of course, with a terrible massacre Hamas did in the southern part of Israel. However, we know by intelligence, it's not a secret, that Hezbollah, this was their plan to attack Israel. All the expectations said that during 2023, 2024, they will try with thousands of their special units to invade Israel and to do the same thing that Hamas did to do to us, the people of the north. So when what happened in October 7th, started, the government of Israel decided that we cannot take a risk and we should evacuate the people living. At the beginning, it was on the border. There is villages which are like 100 meters from the border. You can see the color of the eyes of the Hezbollah people on the other side of the fence. So it was between zero to like a mile and a little bit, and it was like immediately they like did it from zero to like 2.5 miles. It means that approximately 80,000 to 100,000 civilians have to evacuate from their homes to separate from their communities, because here we are living in small communities. It's not big towns like we have in Tel Aviv or Jerusalem. It's very small communities, and people were separated from their communities.
Separated from their communities, and now completely under threat again from Hezbollah as they continue to fire rockets at Israel. And I think it's really important for people who are listening today to the Middle East Report to understand a little bit about the geography. You have Israel, you have Lebanon, you have Syria. It's all nearby. Now, that Hezbollah is supposed to be separated from the border of Israel because of some UN stuff that has been passed many, many years ago. But Hezbollah has decided that, no, they don't want to do that. And so they have moved close to Israel within this certain area where they're not supposed to be in, and they are completely, of course, because they're terrorists, violating everything that the UN has said that they should do. And so now Israel has to defend itself because you have terrorists again right next to your border, as you did for Gaza.
So you, everything is correct. 2006, it was a war between Israel and Lebanon, Israel and Hezbollah, and it was like a decision 1001. And that decision said that Hezbollah cannot be on the southern part on Lebanon, which is the Israeli-Lebanese border. However, and the UN will keep it, nothing happened. Hezbollah built his power for 17 years. By the way, we send messages to Hezbollah that we are not going to fight against them. We have a problem with Hamas. Hamas invade Israel. Hamas attack Israel. Hamas massacred Israelis. We have a problem with Hamas. We don't have, at that time, a problem with Hezbollah. We are not going to shoot if they are not going to shoot. They decided to open and shoot first since October 8th. They started to shoot. I will just mention numbers because it's important. Over than 600 anti-tanks missiles has been shot by Hezbollah terrorists. It is more anti-tanks missiles than they shot during the 2006 war. Today it's not a war, but they shot much more. They launch approximately 3,000 rockets to Israel. It's like third from the capacity of Hamas launch. 3,000 rockets they shot. They're shooting day by day. The snipers are shooting. The anti-tanks missiles have been shot. This is why we cannot have our civilians living on the border. And this is the problem that we are now or in it. We want to go back our homes, but we will not be able to come back without full security to our families.
You know, I think it's important you mention anti-tank missiles and things that are coming across. This is not just to destroy tanks. This is to destroy any infrastructure in Israel. So they just shoot at whatever they want to shoot with these anti-tank weapons, right?
Of course. They're shooting homes, civilian homes, at the city of Metula, on the village of Manara, Malkia. All the villages across the border has been some of them has been destroyed, has been damaged. We can speak about some of the villages that when everything will be ended, they will not be able to come back to their homes because it will needed like between 6 to 12 months of rehabilitation for the infrastructure, for the homes. I just want you to understand something. If I shoot an anti-tank missile on a home, well, it will make just a hole, a small hole. However, when you cannot go to your home because the danger, and it's winter, and this winter, this year was very rough, so the rain is getting into your home, and it destroys everything. So it's not just a small hole in the wall. It's a destruction of many, many homes. This is the security problem. And I will explain that it is not the Lebanese will. You hear the voices from Lebanon. The government is not with that. Some of the Christian parties is not with that. It's all part of the Iranian agenda, the Iranian propaganda of the Shiite axis to try to fight against Israel. I will add that Hezbollah is not just in Lebanon. We haven't spoke about Syria. Have you know that there is like Lebanese Hezbollah people in Syria under the service of Iran launching or trying to launch from Syria to Israel? So we are on the northern part It is not Gaza. However, on the northern part, we are fighting against Palestinians from Hamas in Syria, terrorist organization like Hezbollah in Lebanon and Syria. It's very challenging.
So many war fronts that Israel is dealing with, and you mentioned Lebanon, and I think it's important for those of you who are listening today to understand that Hezbollah basically controls Lebanon. They are in total control of the country. You hear about the government in Lebanon, but the government in Lebanon is not in control. It is Hezbollah that is in control. When I was in Lebanon a couple of years ago, I was with an organization there, and I was traveling back to the airport. He pointed to a hospital, and he said, that hospital is not for us. In other words, the citizen of Lebanon, that hospital is only for Hezbollah. No electricity hardly in Lebanon. They have to use generators for everything. This terrorist regime has destroyed Lebanon and now wants to again come in because of their hatred to Israel and try to destroy the Israeli people. Well, we know that's not going to happen. This has taken an incredible toll on the Israeli people. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But for people who are listening right now who don't understand the threat of Hezbollah, the rockets towards, you know, Israel, what exactly is the threat? Can the rockets reach just the northern part of Israel or other places?
So Hezbollah, just again, the numbers, the facts, Hezbollah have approximately 150,000 rockets from a lot of kinds. It can reach to the villages next to the border, but it also can reach to our southern city, Eilat, which is 600 kilometers. It's like, well, say 400 miles. This is how long? Yeah, they can reach any place in Israel due to the Iranian effort to destroy Israel. I will mention that, again, Hezbollah is doing that under the service of Iran, which is taking advantage about the situation in order to launch missiles from Iraq, from Yemen. So there is so many fronts that Israel is now facing in those days. Of course, there is the Hamas, but as a military expert, what concerning us today is the northern front, whether it will be a war or it won't be a war. I would just say that for the people, for the listeners, because I know that sometimes the American people are a little bit being mistaken. Hezbollah is controlling, you said, Lebanon. Now, Hezbollah is in a war against Israel. They started it. It's important to understand that they started it. We don't want it. But what will be the next stage? Well, they will shoot Israel. Israel will shoot Lebanon. Israel will destroy Lebanon. They are using the Lebanese infrastructure. And then what the world will say, stop bombing Lebanon. It is an hypocrisy. This is the hypocrisy. It's the same like Gaza. Why Israel is destroying Gaza? They are using the civilians. They are using the facilities. The people of the West, they do not understand it. And as an Israeli, it's something that you cannot understand. Why? Don't you understand that they are using their civilians? What were your reaction as Americans, as people living in the UK, if a terrorist organization would have shot your country? How would you react? And this is something that I really want that your audience will understand. We are not attacking civilians. We are attacking sometimes civilians' facilities just after we understand that they have been used by a terrorist organization.
Well, you are definitely under attack in so many different ways. And honestly, the country of Israel is under attack in other ways, such as, and I'm just going to mention this, and if you want to talk about it, that's great, but you are under a lot of pressure from many, many countries, including the United States, to hold off on Gaza, to stop the final uprooting of this terrorist regime of Hamas, to get rid of them. And it's almost like the United States is saying, do what we say you should do, or we're not going to give you any weapons. So I think it's tragic that our country, who really should be the greatest friend of Israel, is now putting this kind of pressure on you. How do you feel about that? And it's not just the United States, but it's other places.
So as an Israeli, well, I have zero expectations, for example, that Syria or Iraq or China or Russia will be objective. Okay? We understand their policy, their agendas. As an Israeli, are really confused, and I really don't understand why the Western countries, the countries who believe in democracy, do not understand that we are fighting their war. When I met American soldiers back those days when I was serving, I was always tell them that, yes, I appreciate you because you are fighting in Afghanistan away from your home. You are fighting in Iraq away from your home, but you are fighting for democracy. Israel today is fighting against the new Nazis, against Hamas, a terrorist organization which put on his mind to destroy the state of Israel. We are fighting, it is not just the Israeli war, it's the Western, it's the free world war. And unless the US will understand, and unless Europe will understand that it is not, the end will not be just with Israel. I just wish some person from Europe and on the Xnet that he wrote something about Israel, that we are terrorists. I told him, wait until they will arrive to your home. And they will, if the world will not help Israel to defeat this terrorist organization, the free world, the countries that believe in democracy will be hit. It will take 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. This is the consequences. You know it. It is happening in America. It is happening all over Europe. Those radical Islamic group is rising and rising. What will happen in another 20, 25 years? They will be the majority.
It is a war over good and evil. Demonic forces and forces of good and moral values. And that is what this is a war all about. And so we want to ask people across the country to pray for you, your family, and everything going on here in Israel. And I want to ask you just two more questions. I want to ask you personally about your own family and how, we mentioned it at the top of the program, but I want you to talk just a little bit more about how you and your family are doing in the midst of this difficult time and how you feel like the country is doing as a whole.
So personally, I retired from the IDF after a lifetime career. And when October 7th happened, I immediately was called to reserve. I'm a reservist officer at one of the division on the northern border. So immediately I took a small bag and left home. My wife, Michal, and the children, they were like moving to live on a city next to Tel Aviv where my family is living because they were like afraid to be on the north. And after a couple of days, it was a government decision that the people that have evacuated from their homes can be living in an hotel. Like I said in the beginning, well, a hotel is a very fun place to live a couple of days, but not to live 6 months. You have so many challenges from how a family that are living in a private home now is just living in two small rooms. What you're going to do with your clothes. You cannot go back to your home to take it because it's under a risk. What is the education system? My children turned away from their friends. My children turned away from their education systems. It took approximately 3 months until they did like an alternative schools. So they are now learning in other school with other children. They had to like to adjust themselves again. The courses, the athletic courses, for example, the dance courses, it is not working now. So it was like three children, 9, 10, and 13 years old that has been ripped from their normal life. And now they are here. They do not know when they will come back to their normal life. So this is just an example about some challenges. I'm not even mentioning about myself and my wife that our business has been shut down. Economic problems. This is in general or very simple about just a very small family. I will mention a strong family. Families that are not strong like us, we saw it. People been divorced. Children is started to use drugs, alcohol. We seen it. It's been published. A lot of people in Israel like came back to their, I will not say normal life, but in most of Israel, because a lot of people went away from the army. In the beginning, it was like 300,000 soldiers, but now most of them has been released. So they're trying to go back to normal life. It is very hard for everyone in Israel. It's very hard because there is so many families that has been broken, a lot of death, a lot of injuries. So I think that every home in Israel will take October 7th. So, but we are trying. We are trying to move ahead to see the next challenges of the state of Israel. Continue to Gaza to bring back the hostages, the 134 hostages, to see how we are bringing our life in the northern part to normal life, and to see how we are going to become a better country after this massacre. But it's a very challenging period of time.
Talking to Eyal Dror, he is an IDF officer in the reserves, and he has a beautiful family. And before we close the program today, there's so many people who are listening who love the Jewish people, love the land of Israel, and want to know what they can do. Obviously, they can pray. That's very, very important. But, you know, what else can people do to stand with Israel and the Jewish people at this very, very crucial moment?
So like you said, first of all, to pray, but also when to know the facts that, for example, in the campuses where the BDS and where all these pro-Palestinians is lying from the river to the sea, and then you see some clips of Americans, they do not even understand what does it mean. It means to destroy us. So to reflect or to explain them much more about Israel, to stand with Israel, to go to hug the Israelis, to support Israel, to support the Jews, because also the Jews in America is under very rough times now, to fight against anti-Semitism, to fight against the BDS. I'm telling you, it is not just an Israeli problem. It will be a general problem for everyone who believes in peace, everybody who wants to live normal life. So we do, like Israelis, we do appreciate all the help. And I see in the social media a lot of Americans, Jewish and non-Jewish, that are supporting Israel. It's very important for us to know that we are not standing alone, because it's like a mutual war of everyone who desire for peace. And I think just to be there for us, just to reflect that, to put the pressure on, by the way, on the decisions that will help Israel, this is the need that we need from our friends across the ocean.
I appreciate my good friend, Lieutenant Colonel Eyal Dror, and I want to encourage you to please pray for his family and the many, many other families there in Israel who are going through so much right now with all of these wars and enemies that Israel is currently facing. They absolutely need our prayers. I also want to encourage you to check out Lieutenant Colonel Eyal's book, Embracing the Enemy. This book will inspire you. It will encourage you. And you can get that book, Embracing the Enemy, wherever you get your books online. Well, the war in Israel continues on many fronts, including Gaza. And it's in this part of Israel that most of the world is focused right now. What's the latest in the Gaza war? I spoke to Dr. Baruch Korman, the founder of Love Israel, a ministry dedicated to providing verse-by-verse teaching of the entire Bible from the original languages in the Jewish context of Scripture. Dr. Korman speaks around the world, and Dr. Korman lives in Israel with his family. I spoke to him there at his home.
Well, currently, as I speak to you, I'm about 12 to 15 miles north of Gaza. And what we're hearing now is quite surprising, because we're hearing more explosions. And recently, in the last few days, Israel has increased their activity in Gaza. Now, this is surprising because things have become very, very quiet for several weeks and really several months. Now, I know everyone was talking about Rafiah and the activity there in the last few weeks, but that's on the southern border of Gaza, and that's very far from where I am. I'm closer to the north. But Israel has shown that they want a conclusion to this war, and they have been practicing their attacks and such in order to encourage Hamas to surrender, being very, and I would say, compassionate time, and also reaching out to the citizens of Gaza to help, to participate, to join them in bringing this to an end. But unfortunately, what happens is this: as Israel has lessened off the attacks, What takes place? Well, the terrorists go to other areas where Israel has left from. And therefore, what's going on right now is that Israel has returned to the north in order to fight these terrorists who have left the south and have popped up again. What it's going to take is Israel to not be so compassionate, but to be much stronger and to bring destruction as a way of motivating the citizens to realize, as this war continues, Gaza is being destroyed. Now, much of the citizens, they are alive and well. There's plenty of food despite what we hear about the need for more and more humanitarian need. But the marketplaces in Gaza are full. The prices have come down. No, what needs to be done is that Israel needs to turn up the pressure. They did that in Rafah, and there was some success from that. And I believe in the near future, we will see that the leaders of Hamas are going to understand that they need to bring this war to an end and surrender and release the hostages. That's what we all want. Hopefully, it will happen sooner than later, because as long as this continues, our fear is, and what we're hearing on Israeli news, that more and more of the hostages are dying. So time is very precious in order to save those individuals that have been taken to Gaza and been confined there for the last 9 months.
That's Dr. Baruch Korman. I want to encourage you to find out more about what he does around the world with his biblical teaching. You can go to loveisrael.org. That's loveisrael.org. In this very difficult time that Israel is facing, and with the rising anti-Semitism and Jew hatred here in our nation, we need to stand with the people of Israel. That's why I want to encourage you to be a part of a very special rally that's happening in northern Mississippi on August the 4th. Sunday, August 4th, 3 p.m. at the Sportsplex Gym in Ripley, Mississippi, a time to stand with Israel. This is open for everyone. It's an absolutely free event, and I want to invite you to come in from Alabama, Tennessee, Mississippi, and all across our country. And this will take place on Sunday, August 4th, 3 in the afternoon at the Sportsplex Gym in Ripley, Mississippi. You're invited. Special guest will be Kobe Ferguson with the Maos Israel, who will be joining us from the land of Israel. And you will be blessed, you will be encouraged, and it will be awesome for us to come together and to say, we stand with Israel. Again, that's Sunday, August 4th, 3 p.m. at the Sportsplex Gym in Ripley, Mississippi. That's the Middle East Report. I'm John Riley. Thanks for listening to the podcast. The show is available wherever you get your podcast or at AFR.net.